Welcome to T-Smack, home of the T-Smack. May I take your order?
Hey there, hi there, hello there. Welcome to an all-new episode of Talking Smack, where we talk superheroes, movies, animation, comics, and much, much more. I am your host, Josh Scar, and joining me, as always, is myself. I am flying solo today, and I am always here with myself, so at least I have some company, I guess. That's a weird thing to say, but I'm recording solo and I'm being lazy, so I'm just going to keep rolling with it. This week we are talking about Toy Story 5, and I guess I'm just going to dive right into it. We're not going to do a promo or anything because this is going to be a pretty quick episode, I think. I'm not very good at bantering with myself, and I'm not very good at soloing anything, whether it be video games or a podcast. So if this is a short episode, it's because I really don't like being on mic by myself, and I didn't want to rope anyone in last minute for a movie that I wasn't quite sure who had seen it or who will see it. So with that, let's talk Toy Story 5. First and foremost, we always ask, did you like the movie? I liked this movie well enough. I think it is okay. It is not on the same level as any of the previous Toy Stories, with the exception of 4, and we'll talk about that. The original Toy Story trilogy is in its own epic category. This is very much just another day in the life of the toys from Toy Story and another adventure. I really enjoyed a lot of what the focus of this film was, which for those of you that know, Ricky and I have been married a long time. We have 3 kids. She really didn't want to see this movie because she was afraid that the tablet character that is played up in the promo material as the villain of the film, which she pretty much is, she was pretty terrified of like the anxiety that the tablet would create for her with the potential that is there for a tablet or an Alexa device that is always listening and kind of occupying your time by having you stare at a screen. She was a little terrified of what that would do to her anxiety and like where the storylines could go. I don't think she would have been as anxiety addled as she thinks she was, but until she sees this when it hits video on demand or when we buy the physical copy or if it hits Disney Plus first, we'll see. But the lily pad tablet storyline is not exactly as focused as you would think it is given the promo material. I will say this is a must-see. We'll give the Talking Smack rating first. I like the movie a lot. One of the bright spots I will give this movie, which I'm going to contradict myself a little bit from previous reviews, particularly our Jurassic World episode, when you get those little flourishes of When She Loved Me, the Sarah McLachlan song from Toy Story 2, whenever Jesse has emotional moments or like moments of retrospection, they always use a little flourish from When Somebody Loved Me. And maybe it's the nostalgia for the song. Maybe it's just that I think it was used really well and sparingly throughout the film. I think they do it like 3 or 4 times. But each time I think it is a very poignant moment. Whereas if used in like Jurassic Park or Jurassic World movies, the theme is, it really just feels like it's doing, this is the thing you love and remember, right? The theme, we're going to put images on screen and you're going to love these images because you're hearing the music that you love. Where this very much feels like they're using the theme appropriately and thematically, no pun intended. So I give props to Randy Newman for scoring the movie the way he did. Without going into spoilers just yet, I do think that this is a very basic story. I don't think it's as emotionally resonant as it would like to be. And that I think that's because they're pulling back from some punches they could throw. And they're pulling their punches with the tablet storyline and like some of the other messages, which we'll get into in spoilers. But overall, I really like the movie. 2 out of my 3 kids liked it. My 4-year-old did not like it. I think it's a little too slow for her, and it didn't capture her like a Frozen would or even Spirit Untamed has. Moving into spoilers, this is very much a Jesse movie. Jesse is the main character of this film. Bonnie is her kid, just like Andy was Woody's kid. She's trying to help Bonnie make friends, and Bonnie's having a hard time because other kids are on their tablets. They're not using their imagination, and that's all Bonnie does. So without being able to make friends, Bonnie becomes a little depressed and she asks her parents why can't she make friends? Which every parent in the audience is like, oh my God, my child. Every parent has gone through something similar to that. And the dad's response is, I guess we'll get her a tablet, which is a really weird thing to do. Like, there's no actual dialogue that says, like, well, all these other kids have these. Bonnie's been asking for this. There's none of that. It's just, Bonnie said she doesn't have friends. Let's get her a tablet. It's a really forced concept because they don't take the time to acknowledge that they've been avoiding the tablet idea because Bonnie is so creative. They don't want her on the internet. They avoid all of that stuff. So like that part I really did not vibe with. But once Bonnie gets the tablet, again, every parent in the audience is like, oh God, my kid, because she is immediately immersed. And even when they're talking about enforcing screen time and all this other stuff, it doesn't work. She's just on the tablet all the time. Playtime's gone. And Jesse has it out with Lilypad, the new tablet. And through some shenanigans, Woody gets called and he comes to help save the day. But this is where the movie starts to kind of shift. Woody and Buzz are the B plot. They're really kind of the C plot. The A plot is Jesse kind of coming to terms with some of her trauma from a lifetime of being a toy. And then Bonnie is the B plot. And then Woody and Buzz are the C plot, where Woody is kind of coming to terms that Buzz is a little bit more capable as a co-lead, even though they'd been co-leading for a long time with Andy. It's really strange. I don't know. But Jesse's story is just wonderfully told, even though it is a little meandering because it takes a wide swing to get Jesse from Bonnie's room to her old house where she grew up with Emily, the girl that is the from the song of When She Loved Me, Jesse's first owner. By being back on the farm and being back on the hill with the tire swing and everything, Jesse has a lot of old wounds come to surface while she's also still dealing with all this new stuff happening with tech, invading the house, tablets, internet, everything like that. And she meets up with Smarty Pants, who is wonderfully voiced by Conan O'Brien. He gives a lot of John Mulaney vibes in Spider-Verse, where he's just fully enveloped in the character. The character is who he is. He's not like Conan O'Brien doing a voice. He is Smarty Pants. Like, it's just absolutely wonderful. And then Joan Cusack is just, she's always been good as Jesse. She's done 4 movies as Jesse now, and she is just always wonderful. But this is her first time really being the lead of the story. Like, she was a lead in Toy Story 2, but Toy Story 2 was still a lot of Woody coming to terms with Andy growing up. Where this one is, like I said earlier, this is Jesse's story. Jesse is the main character. Jesse is the focal point of the storytelling. And the things Jesse, the journey, the emotional journey Jesse goes through is just wonderful. And it's supported by the score beautifully, again, by Randy Newman. It's just so well done. And I don't want to get into spoilers too deep with this because there are some moments that I think really should be experienced without it being too spoiled. But the cast is all great. Tim Allen is Buzz Lightyear. He sounds better than he did in Toy Story 4. Apparently there's a whole rigmarole on the internet and through like promotional interviews that he was doing where he was commenting about how Buzz sounded old, and I don't know what the point of anything was. They just made a comment that, or they acknowledged that Buzz is, or Tim Allen's getting old, and apparently so is Buzz in some way. I hate to say that Woody really didn't need to be in this movie. I think Buzz could have had if not the exact same arc, a very similar arc if Woody just wasn't there. I think it might have even been more impactful if Woody wasn't there, because you could have teased Woody for something else, or he could have like just popped in at the end and said hi. But you need Woody for the promotional materials, and you need Tom Hanks on the promotional tours. I get why you bring Tom Hanks back, but this is not a Woody and Buzz movie. This is very much a Jesse movie, and it's good. It's a very well-made movie And I don't think it feels as much of a cash grab as some might make it out to be. I like this one better than Toy Story 4, although I do like the supporting characters a little bit more in Toy Story 4. Like Gabby Gabby is just a wonderful addition to the Toy Story roster, and I really wish they found a way to work her into it again. But I understand why they can't. She's obviously got a different kid. The movie is a little frustrating in the sense that all of the characters that we know from previous movies really get sidelined. Like even Forky, he's really a part of two scenes, and then he might have like a line of dialogue when in a group setting. He really is there for the opening play sequence, and then in the part in the trailer where Lilypad calls Woody out for being bald or an old man, and Forky's the one who like breaks it to Woody that he's old or she thinks he's old. Everyone else is just kind of there. But overall, they don't really need to be there because it's Jesse's story. And they find their way to make technology work for them. And the messaging is a little convoluted because it doesn't really resolve the toxicity that can be created online. They kind of solve it without acknowledging it. So like there's a hole there that needs to really be filled in some fashion. But as far as Bonnie and Jesse's stories go, they are told wonderfully. They're very well thought out, but there are some conceptual things that just don't quite jive with the actual storytelling, real world impacts that the allegory of everything that's happening in the story would have. But Toy Story 5, highly recommended, must see in the Talking Smack rating. Anything else I have to say, I'm really going to be rambling and just repeating myself. And I've probably already done a lot of that. We'll find out when I do the edit. But other than that, I'm going to start wrapping up because I can't really say too much more without spoiling. And I think this is a movie that really I don't want to spoil for anyone for like what the moral messaging is and where Jesse's story goes, especially. Like, it's very touching. This movie didn't push me to tears. It did bring me to the brink a few times. So I will say that. But with that, I'm going to wrap up this very painful solo episode. Painful for me. Maybe not for you. I don't know. But it's painful for me because I don't like talking to myself or just talking into a microphone without a back and forth and a dialogue. I prefer a dialogue. And if you want to have a dialogue with me or anyone else on the Talking Smack team, you can join the Discord. The link is in the episode description. We have the invite link right there. You can follow us at TSmackPod, or I'm sorry, you can follow us at Talking Smack Pod on the social media platforms, Letterboxd, Blue Sky, Facebook, YouTube. You can email us your reviews of movies that have come out or that are coming out or that we're going to cover for the week, or TV shows, comics, whatever you're doing, whatever you're reading, let us know. Email us at tsmackpod@gmail.com. Thank you to Leo Allen for our musical themes, Beppo for original avatars, Retro Ale Studios for our Riggy avatar. Please like, subscribe, rate, review on your podcatcher of choice. If you are watching on YouTube, if you're listening on Spotify, if you're listening on Podbean, you can leave comments. We can talk back and forth with comments on those. So why not do that? And again, leave a like. Thank you once again for listening, and I hope you appreciate this super short episode. If you'd like a more in-depth review, I would recommend waiting till tomorrow for Justin Henson's review, and maybe we'll see if he liked it or not. But other than that, everyone, have a great day, have a great night. Thank you for listening, and take care.
Who loves T-Smack?
I love T-Smack. Is it true? Mm-hmm. I do, ooh.